appropriate that we should have an exhortation on faith, that we're not to forget this, because it's very much part of the deeper life teaching. And I have a title today for our teaching: Everything in Our Lives is by Faith. Everything in our lives is by faith. And that is why we're a new creation. A new creation in Christ must have for their lives every day a life of living by faith. And we forget this sometimes, because the new nature that we have received in Christ lives its life as a result of living by faith. It's what nourishes that new created life that we have in our lives, in our heart and spirit. It is essential. It is our food. And that is why faith comes by hearing the word of God. And this is what God, since he saved us and brought us into the deeper life teaching, has been working tirelessly with us, day and night. And we, all of us, have at times admitted, Lord, forgive us, or forgive me, that it's taking so long, all these years, and still there are areas I'm still not yet living and trusting by faith. But of course, if that is our heart's desire, and if that is our honesty before God, then we know that God moves heaven and earth in which to get us to that place. Because our God and Father is a merciful God, and he wants us to walk this walk of faith. We're also secondly learning something: the wisdom of God in getting us to walk totally by faith. Because more and more as we go on in this world, we realise we don't want to trust in it. We see the corruption of it, the confusion, the falling away, which again just speaks to us what a privilege it is not to trust in that anymore, to believe in it. Because the lies today are so prevalent, you know, you really cannot believe. There's very few you can believe. You certainly cannot believe your politicians, government, police, you name it, those who are supposed to be in authority setting this example. You can't trust or believe in any of that. It's failing. So again, this just tells us the wisdom of God, what he's doing and how he gets it right every time. So these are some of the things I want to just look at and think about today with regard to our title. Everything in our lives is by faith. And that's what we're talking about. Let's turn to Romans chapter 9, verses 30 and 31. Romans chapter 9. 30, well, we'll read 30 through to 33. Now, what the Apostle Paul here in the context is speaking about Israel, in Israel at the present time, which is in unbelief, unregenerate. Israel at the moment is like any other nation, but her history is so different from any other nation because of course, the covenant that God made with the Hebrews. So that's where he's coming from. And we'll take it up from verse 30. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith? But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone, as it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offence, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. So he's saying very simply, Israel's problem is, she still thinks she can attain it by the works of the law. And you can't. It's by the hearing of faith. Is the law, the demands of the law, fulfilled? So there is the principle. That is what the Apostle Paul raises. And it doesn't change. We are made righteous by our faith in Christ and in the blood that was shed at Calvary. And so Jesus is the object of our faith. Israel does not have an object to their faith. That is why they only accept the Torah, the first five books of the Pentateuch. They cannot receive the New Testament, the New Covenant, because they are blinded to it. Whereas God has opened our eyes, brought in the Gentiles through Israel's failure in order to believe. And that is why the object of our faith is Jesus. And when you receive Jesus and he is the object of your faith, you have received his word, because you cannot separate any of it. Jesus is the word is Jesus. And that's what makes it real, a living reality. If you just see faith as the word, which was some of the problems in the early days, those embracing the deeper life, all they could see was the word. You don't have an object. You don't have a vision. Because who is our vision? Jesus. Who's alive, living today. That is what makes then faith a living reality. Otherwise, it becomes legalistic. And you will eventually, if it's just the word, you will make the same mistake that Israel makes. And you will try to be justified by faith, by the word, by works. And of course, this was what was happening at the Church of Galatia. They were doing exactly the same problem. Because it was the word, they were not seeing the object of their faith, the risen Lord Jesus Christ. They started to say, well, we ought to start bringing back circumcision. After all, that is separation. And you know the rest of the story. You know what the Apostle Paul was admonishing that church about. So don't think that believers can be exempt today. They can still fall into that trap. So our faith must have an object, a vision, and it is Jesus. And you see, we have to learn that everything we do and say is by faith. And as we receive, as we hear faith, because we're told that faith comes by hearing, as we receive that hearing and it has a clear channel into the heart, because we confessed, we're washed by the blood, we're not harboring sin or whatever, it has got clear access to do that supernatural work in our lives to help us to walk by faith. Now, how God does that, I don't know. I'll leave that with him. But he does that. And that is why it is so important, because faith comes by hearing. It is that hearing, it is that direct channel into the spiritual side of us, into the heart, that in time translates our everyday life, our walk, our confession, our belief. It makes it supernatural. See, that's what we should be experiencing. And this is why I bring this up so often. Because that is what we should be experiencing in our lives. We know, obviously, that it doesn't happen overnight. But something happens. You know, when we come together for meetings, like today, when we go away, there should be something within us. Something happened to me today. I'm walking out of this place different to when I came. Because of this very thing, as we open our hearts through the anointing, through the unction of the Spirit, we receive that word that feeds our faith, that pleases him, that we walk by in these last days. And all our trials are to expose where we're still not yet in those areas of faith. And we're going to come to that place where we're going to actually thank the Lord through the trial of faith. Not necessarily thank him for it, but thank him what is produced from that trial that we go through. Because the exposure exposed where I'm not yet believing as I should be, and I can do something about it. You see, our trials should, we should learn our trials by the revelation that is received by them. Now, the world goes through trials, of course they do, but they don't get a revelation of their trials. And you can hear that pretty quick, because all they do is curse and blind and everything, you know. But we learn something through our trials, because our trials accompany a revelation, if we want to learn it. And it doesn't take long where the Holy Spirit begins to reveal, well, that trial you went through, what was manifesting? Fear. That's what was manifesting. Right, we're going to deal with it. It's got to be cleansed. It's got to be brought out. It's got to, you've got to get that deliverance on it. Or it could be a number of things, whatever they are. You know what manifests in you in a trial. And some of us, we've been taken through a trial similar many, many times. And the same old thing is manifesting every time. And it's he's doing that for a reason. A, because he loves us, and B, he's doing it because he's showing you he's great enough to deliver you from that. Amen. And it comes by asking, you see? And that's why so often we're asking amiss. We're asking the wrong things. So Jesus is the object of our faith. It makes it real. A reality, you see, and we have to learn in everything that we say and do, I walk by faith. That is why I love to hear myself when I wake up in the morning, for I get out of bed, Father, this day I walk by faith. I just have to hear myself say it. You know, I don't care how strange it is. There are just some things I have to say, I have to confess before God, because it helps me mentally. It just does something for me. It makes me realize what my day is about. It's for God. It's not about me and what I want to do. It's for him. Because my day, our day, is a gift he's given to us. It's not something I deserve. No. He's given it to me. And that gift is to experience him for that day. To see his mighty hand work. That's what it's all about. And that's why you see our new birth, being a new creation in Christ, has brought us into a new dimension, which is not of this world. And that is why Satan has a go like he does. Because he wants to keep us bound in this world like he is bound to. And blinds the eyes of people. But we are not to walk that way. It's not what I have been saved for. It's not something within me cannot accept it. And that is good. That's not wrong. Because God, Satan is still the god of this world. And the church is going to shortly usurp him and overcome him and finally put him down. That's why he's attacking. This is why everything's going crazy. This is why everything is topsy-turvy. It's all over the place. You can't believe most of what you hear now. Do you know why this is all happening, brothers and sisters? Do you know why the world is falling away? Do you know why we're facing shortly a World War III? You're the problem.
Yeah.
You lot. Good news, isn't it? You're the problem. That's why it's going on like that out there. Yeah. Because of your prayers. Your stand of faith. Your believing. Your holding on. And everything. That divides Satan's kingdom. That's what divides it. Every time you confess faith, every time you believe in the promises of God, every time you seek God in prayer, you are weakening, dividing Satan's kingdom. And yet we've got much of the church today is completely blinded to all of that. But you are not, because you have been receiving the deeper life teaching over all these years. Little wonder the enemy hates this. Little wonder he tries to stop people joining this. But God's got that all in hand as well.
Amen.
You see, Jesus, who is the object of our faith, is our faith. And that is why he keeps us alive. He keeps us safe. He preserves us and everything. I spoke this the other day in teaching for this very reason. Because you and I, we wouldn't exist. We'd be 6 foot under now. If Satan had his way, he would have got us out the way years ago. I can assure you. You are here today. I am here today. I am preaching by the mercy of God, because God has preserved us by the blood of Jesus. Because if he doesn't do that, he'll never have anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He won't have anyone. And that is why he's faithful. And he is faithful, brothers and sisters. You know, I've been encouraging a saint this week. You know, and I really just stood in the gap, because in the natural, it just looks as though God doesn't want to answer them. It looks as though God has forsaken them. And you know, it seems as though this person, whatever they put their hands to, just doesn't work and everything. And it makes you realize what you say to that person. You have to think, you've got to be in prayer. You know, because they're really, really, really going through it. And I just don't want to speak where I want to speak life to them. You know, and the Lord gave the words. He gave the wisdom.
Amen.
And it was help. It was able to help and support them and encourage them as you hold them in prayer and intercession. Because I've been down that road. I know what it's like when everything seems to be against you. You know, and it seems as though God has forsaken you. Well, did Jesus say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Yeah.
It can seem like that. Mm. And that person was going through that. I could just pick it up. You know, and the privilege there is just stand in the gap and just intercede, Father, that their faith will fail not, you know, and that they will really learn and just let go and just stand and see the salvation of the Lord. Because they're trying and trying and trying, trying all the time, trying this, trying that, and every door closes. It all's just counterproductive. I know that. We've all been through that.
Yeah.
And suddenly you get the message. I'm not touching this anymore. There's nothing more I could do. I either sink or swim. And then God says, good. I've got you now where I want you. Now see what I'm going to do. See what I'm going to do. Oh, you know, we've gone through this. And this is why, because we've gone through these things, we can stand in the gap. We can support, we can encourage, particularly younger ones that are in the faith. You know, are going through all of this. Because it can look so negative. You know, and the enemy's so vocal, he's so there with all that logic. See, God isn't faithful. He hasn't answered your prayers. You know, it's a waste of time. You've been in this walk all these years. I know, because I know you've heard it as well as I have.
Yes.
but he is faithful. As he says in Habakkuk 2 and verse 4, "Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith," his faithfulness. That is how you live. You live by his faithfulness. And he has invested his faithfulness in you and I through the blood of Jesus. Do you know that God's made an investment in you?
Yeah.
Do you know that you have been bought with a price? Well, you can't even put money to it. Mm. He's not about to let that go. No way. That is the jealousy of God. And rightly so, because of what it cost him. And you know, we're going to learn that throughout eternity. And that's why we who follow the Lamb wherever he goes, we're going to be reminded he's a lamb, a sacrifice. Do you know how we're going to be reminded? Because he will bear the scars throughout eternity. That's not going to be easy, that one. My Saviour is going to be scarred for the rest of eternity. I'm not. He's took all my scars away. But he's going to bear that scar. Have you ever thought about that? I tell you, it's just, you have no words. You have no words. So Jesus is the object of our faith. And faith doesn't quit. Faith will just keep on believing. Because outwardly, it is always negative. Every step of faith you know you take, everything is against you. It's illogical. It doesn't make sense. It shouldn't happen. And that's why we stay in there, because he is faithful. But our faith keeps us alive. It keeps us preserved. It keeps us going on. It keeps us confessing, believing, holding on. It enables us to be this remnant of the last day, the man-child that's making itself ready. And that is why faith is constantly being revealed. Because faith is a revelation. And every day when you walk with the Lord, there is something more that you learn about faith. You may not be conscious of it, but suddenly in time, when you think about it, or we're in a meeting like this, you think, wow, my goodness, what I'm seeing now than 3 months ago. That is faith. That's how it works. Romans chapter 1 verse 17. Romans chapter 1 verse 17. "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." So that reads, in the Greek, it reads, it's progressive. It's ongoing. It never ends. It's eternal. That principle of faith is actually going to be in eternity as well. Although we won't believe by faith anymore, but faith revealing itself. It's a revelation of God to us. That is why you can never stop with faith. And that is why we have so many teachings. You know, I've taught more on faith than anything else because of that. Because it's ongoing, being revealed more and more, you see. And that's why we're set apart for that very purpose, that reason, because we cannot get that experience if we continue to live in the world. We have to be set apart for this experience. Let's turn to Acts 26, the book of Acts 26 and verse 18. "To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me."
Okay.
There you are, to open their eyes. Mm. That's what faith does. So our eyes are being opened more and more, brought out from darkness into the light, as he is of the light. And it's to release us from the power of Satan to God, that we receive that forgiveness, that pardon, and that we have that inheritance amongst the saints, that we're sanctified by faith in him. That's the ongoing work that he's doing, brothers and sisters. That's a verse that sometimes you can forget. But that's a really blessed verse, that is, in the book of Acts. You see, our faith works by love. And that's the key to it. As God is love, so we are of that love. And that is how our faith works. It's revealed in the spirit of love, harmony and unity and oneness. And you see, this is why if those harbour unforgiveness, hate in their hearts, they do not understand this love, this faith. That is a different faith. That is a different gospel. That is a different Jesus Christ. Oh, they can confess things that sound right, but that is a different gospel. They are not in the light, whereas we are. And so the love of God is the essence, is the root of all of this, and is essential. That is how fellowship can be. That is how the body of Christ can continue. And of course, we've had much teaching on that over the years. But our faith certainly works by love. And it works by that hearing. It works by that stepping out at sometimes. Sometimes faith requires just step out. You don't understand what you're doing. You just start to do it. And it happens. And as you step out, the waters part. And very often when you've done a step of faith and you've done, then suddenly it's like you look back and you think, did that really all happen? But God didn't let your mind get into it. He was just leading and guiding you. And sometimes that is how faith will work. That is what God was teaching Peter when he got out of the water. He was trying to teach those disciples that sometimes you will walk on water. And don't look at the storms. But that's how faith will work. Sometimes faith works through prayer, intercession. Many times it works that way. As you start to get in prayer and intercession for those who are going through trials or whatever it is, suddenly that faith is there to believe. And know that God is answering your prayers. Amen. As you stand in the gap for that situation. Or faith can operate through the gifts. Yeah. That's why we believe in the gifts set in the body, as well as the gift of faith. It can be for that, for healing, for deliverance. Yeah. Sometimes faith is required just to simply overcome and just to stand. That requires faith. Every day, the experiences we go through, whatever it is, faith is required for that, to simply believe. And that is what it's going to be all the while we're still in our flesh. And that is why we live and walk and have our being by faith. Sometimes we have to take the shield of faith. We've got to go into warfare. There's some fiery darts on the way. And my shield of faith, the faith, the gospel, has got to stand against those fiery darts. This is why we need to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. And sometimes that is required. I don't know about you, but I'm finding more and more I'm having to do that. In these last days, that shield of faith. Sometimes faith requires just patience and just waiting. Oh, how much longer, Lord? You know, it's taking so long that you find, well, praise God, here it is, another day. Well, we'll wait by faith another day. Don't understand, but that's how it goes. Faith is needed. Faith is needed for the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, boy, do I need the fruit of the Spirit at the moment. I've got somebody I work with at work. They are testing me, my patience. And we're going to meet them. They're going to move alongside because God is testing you with the fruit of the Spirit. And whatever the situation, whatever the circumstances, or whatever the person is, there'll be a fruit there that can handle it of some sort. You know? I encountered that yesterday through a certain person that I knew was coming up. I caught them at the corner of my eye. I had to go to a meeting yesterday. And sadly, you know, everybody avoids this person. And I didn't want to avoid this person deliberately, but I knew this person was coming up because there were people sitting down. And I was sitting with them and I got up because I knew he would cause a problem on that table with those people. So I got up quick, I said, come over. I moved aside and I was able to talk to him, you know, so that it might not become confrontational or whatever, you see. And I realised the fruit was there. The fruit of the Spirit was able to handle this person, you know. And they are there. They're around you, you know. And God will make you sensitive. And very often, he empowers us to be able to handle those people when other people turn their back on them. Mm. You know, I hate to see somebody snubbed. Mm. I hate to see cliqueness, but that's the world. Yeah. You know, or you see somebody sitting on their own and everybody else are all joining in and they ignore that person. There's just something within me. I can't take that. Yeah. I want to go over. You know, but that's me. But it's all by faith that we do this sort of thing, you know, because our faith works by love. So what are all the promises then to those who seek him? Because if we walk by faith and we seek God, let's face it, we seek him many, many times because he's a rewarder of those that seek him. But we are coming to that place as the bride of Christ. Lord, I just want to seek you. Not what I can get out of you. Mm. Not even your promises. I just want to spend this day in your presence. Mm. And we're going to do that because that's what he's ultimately working within us. But nevertheless, God does bless us. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Psalm 101 and verse 6. Psalm 101 and verse 6. My eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, and they may dwell with me. He who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. But he who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. So there you are, our motives. Our heart is very, very important. And that is why the bride's making herself ready, because she's making herself ready because she's learning to seek him and him alone. Even though he will bless, he will give. Because here it is, he says, my eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. That's precisely what the bridegroom is doing. She will dwell with the bridegroom. He who walks in a perfect way, in other words, an upright heart, shall serve me. That is why the overcomers will serve God in the last days. What a privilege, eh? Mm. My word. Well, the conclusion then to all of this. We've got to discern when we haven't faith. And when there isn't faith, or God has been exposing through a trial where there's not faith, you've got to wait on God in that area. And let God work and do what he's got to do. And this is where a lot of it went wrong over the years. And that is why he deals with the pride in us, because pride will not admit that I'm not in faith in that area. Faith, pride will pretend. Pride will go through the actions and then you fall flat on your face, good and proper. That's why he's been delivering us, and he speaks about pride for that very purpose. So that when areas of unbelief rise up like they do, you're in that humble state before God and you can wait on him. And it's between you and God when he does that work of healing and deliverance. And he will. He will, believe me. And that is how you come to these areas of faith and walking by faith. It's waiting on God, which is essential in this. And then as you wait and you have waited, when he raises you up in his power and might, then you act accordingly. And you're not doing it in your own strength and blindness, which pride does. And that's why the devil wants to trip us up by pride, which is his problem. He's afflicted by. What a coward he is. That's why I always say, the Deeper Life teaching is always about deliverance. It's got a terrific healing aspect to it. It really, really has, if we receive it as the Lord wants us to. And these changes, of course, they take time, but they are a requirement. Let's turn to Mark. Mark chapter 4. Mark 4 and verses 3 to 4. Mark 4, verses 3 to 4. And it happened, as he sowed, that some seed fell on the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crops. But other seed fell on good ground, and it yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So we note, what is the caution in that parable? That's one of the greatest parables I believe Jesus spoke.
Yeah.
It's certainly for the deeper life. Most of it is warning. If you look in nature, most of it is warning. He says this stony ground is a warning. And the sun comes up, because there's no depth, it's all scorched and burned up. Then there is the thorns, the thistles, and it chokes the word of God. And then there's the good ground. So you've got two against one. So how much should we take heed? How important should it be in hearing the word of God? This is why I say, and I will say it again, when we come to our meetings, whether it's online or today, be prayed up. Not only praying for the word, but praying for your heart, your ears, so that you can hear, so that that seed will go into good ground, yielding a crop. What is that crop? that 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, that is your walk of faith. That is what is being produced by your hearing into the heart, you see. That's why so often the Holy Spirit, he explains these things to us. He takes us aside, like he did with the disciples, because he needs to explain. Sometimes we're asking questions, and it's not always the right time. But the Holy Spirit, he will explain these things when we understand. And sometimes we're asking things, but he can't reveal to us yet because we don't understand. We won't understand it. We have to mature in the faith. And so the Lord with the disciples, he knew the right time when to take, and he never always took all of them together, as we know. But he was taking them to one side and explaining because they had come to a place where they understood. And that's why he spoke such parables. For example, we see this we see verse 34, but without parable he did not speak to them, and when they were alone he explained all these things to his disciples. And on the same day, when the evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over the other side, and so on. So of course these parables, you see, he explained them to them later, so that they understood. I read that in verse 34 of the same chapter of Mark. And that's what he does with us through the Holy Spirit. But we have to understand. And often understanding is when he gets our attention. He explains these deeper truths, our faith, when he gets our attention. Because we're then ready to understand. In other words, he's brought us to the end of ourselves. We've had to let go of some things. And then he speaks, oh, I see it now. I understand. It becomes a part of you. It becomes alive. It's like it's part of your life. It's you, that walk of faith, because you now understand. And that's why we have to examine ourselves in the light of his word. We have to examine ourselves because we've got to be of use to him. It's important. What is the point of learning all of this, going through everything, being trained in the deeper life teaching, if we're not going to be of use to him? There's no point in that. What would be the point of him investing in us if he wants a return? You're the return. I'm the return of what he's invested. What is the point otherwise? And that's why, you see, he takes us to one side. He does this deliverance with us when we're ready. And then he can explain. And he can say to you, I've got to get that laziness out of you. I've got to get that envy out of you, that jealousy out of you. I've got to get those lies that you keep saying out of you, that pride out of you. Because we don't see it. We don't see it until he highlights it. We think we're okay. Mm. And when he deals with those things, we then find we can, by faith, outwardly look, and we can walk in that faith. We can be bold because he's removed those hindrances that cause us still to run back every time the devil growls. You see? This is what he's delivering us from, so that we will be bold in these last days. In other words, we won't say, oh Lord, I'm unworthy. Oh Lord, here I go again. Well, why do we say that? Because we are. There's nothing new or strange. I remember when I was in my denominational church, we used to, "Lord, I'm not worthy to come to your table." And all this, it was all about, you're not worthy, or whatever it was. But it was a negative thing.
Mm.
But what's new about that? None of us are. But God has provided the blood of the Lamb for that. And so when he's dealt with that unworthiness that we have, something rises up that you boldly enter into his presence, which is what he wants us to do. But when I was in the denomination, I never knew anything about boldly entering into his presence. You didn't do that sort of thing. How dare you do that? Well, I knew what was holding me back from that. That was the powers of darkness, because I was so unworthy. I was always unworthy.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God he delivered me from that. That's a strong denominational hold, that is,
mm-hmm.
over a lot of professing believers. And you have to be in that system to understand that one. It keeps you in a place of weakness all the time. Well, it causes you to run away. That's what it does. But you see, when God gets us alone, and that's what he does, and that's what he's going to do, and that's what he's going to do with some of you, he's going to get you alone, and he's going to explain some things. When he gets your attention, when you come to the end, when you let go, he's then going to get you alone, and he will start to explain what it is he's doing. And we then see the seriousness of it all. We then begin to see the seriousness of this walk. We then begin to see the seriousness of why he's doing what he's doing, why he's placed me in the body like he has, and everything. We need to see the seriousness of all of this, because this is how he gets our attention. And this is why, brothers and sisters, we walk by faith and not by sight. Everything in our lives is by faith. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.